W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, everybody, welcome back into the early line here on Sports Grid. Hour number two, where Dane and Kevin are going to go into a specific team and try to find you some value. You know, Kev, we have been talking about the Arizona Cardinals a lot, you know, kind of in this offseason. They've made some big moves. You know, they're primed, many people believe, you know, second-year quarterback, second-year head coach. They made huge moves in the offseason, and we're going to get into that. I did want to ask you one thing, though. Yesterday, when we talked about the Rams, Aaron Donald was the favorite for defensive player of the year, right?
Yes.
He's kind of the favorite every year. Right. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. We made the analogy to, like, you know, Mike Trout could win it every year. You just got to give someone else once. Right.
Yeah.
LeBron won it almost every year. They had to give KD one. Michael Jordan won it every year. They had to get Malone one, even though that was the impetus for Jordan's aggression. Shall we say, are we at that same place in the NFL right now? Like, J.J. Watt had that award for years and years, and then along came Aaron Donald, and everybody kind of acknowledges that Aaron Donald is, like, on his own level to himself. Are we now in the same place with that? Like, Aaron Donald, we all know, is the best damn defensive player in the league, but we kind of, like, got to find ways to get someone else the award every now and then?
Yeah, yes, and also I think what worked against him specifically last year is they weren't a playoff team. And I think winning defensive player of the year and not being a playoff team is very, very difficult. And, I mean, Aaron Donald has monster, monster numbers, right? Always, all the time, forever. But that Patriots defense last year was absolutely special. You look at the numbers, like, they had, like, a historic ranking. Now, some of that might have been feasting on some poor teams. I will get you to give me your theory on the Sam Darnold ghost game, but I guess not today. So Gilmore kind of got it. I think
should have never went over the airwaves. That's my thought.
No, I mean, like, I get that. It's just it was on the heels of him lighting up the Cowboys. That's what I don't understand. Like, if it was his first game back from injury, right? Then it's like, of course, this all makes sense. But he lit up the Cowboys and then just looked like he was throwing the game. I don't disagree with you. I felt bad for him that it went over the airways. I totally agree with you there. That's just why that game I will never forget. Because if I could make sense of it, Dane,
right,
I was like, oh, whatever, yeah, just he shouldn't have been out there.
So you're telling me Stephon Gilmore is your defensive player of the year, or what?
No. I'm basically, this is all just me talking about how good the pass defense was last year. But I think now Donald's got a really good chance this year because he has the chance to get his third DPOY, which has only been done. I don't know where you land on J.J. Watt, But to me, he's been a locked-in Hall of Famer for years now because he's got three Defensive Player of the Years. The only other person that has three is Lawrence Taylor. Right. And I think we all know, you know, who Lawrence Taylor. I mean, when it comes to, you know, LT. So to me, if Aaron Donald gets that mark, and I think it's a mark that he is certainly worthy of, you know, it's kind of going to be something that further solidifies what is already this lock Hall of Fame case.
One of the best defensive players, like, of all time, right? Deserves to be talked about in the category with some of these names you mentioned, you know, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. I bring it up because I found something interesting. You mentioned also to me in these futures bets, sometimes you like to grab two or three, right? Cover more than just one. And I just saw something that was so incredible. The top 10 choices for Defensive Player of the Year, okay, going all the way to like 25-1, okay? What if I told you, Kev, that of the top 10 choices, four of them share two last names? There's two sets of brothers in the top 10. Do you know the last names? Yes, you do.
Oh, it's got to be the Watts.
The Watts are one. Yeah, JJ and TJ. What's the other last name where there are two of the top 10 choices for Defensive Player of the Year?
Are they actually brothers or is it just the same last name?
Yes.
The only thing I can think
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. Boza. Boza.
Oh, of course the Boza.
Is the name. Wrong. Okay. Nick and Joey Boza, TJ and JJ Watt are all within the top 10 choices for Defensive Player of the Year. I just found that interesting.
Yeah.
If I asked you to cover the Watts or the Bozas, which would you cover in a futures bet? If you could have both Watts or both, I mean, it's even almost. Yeah. You know, Nick Boza is the highest of all three of them. Of all four, excuse me.
That's,
So Boza, Nick Boza, 13-1, the third choice. TJ Watt, the fourth choice. Ahead of his brother JJ, by the way, which I find interesting. TJ Watt, 15-1. JJ Watt, 18-1, and then Joey Boza is still in there at like 23-1, a legitimate option.
Yeah.
Would you take the Bozas or the Watts?
Give me the Bozas. I just have to say this is funny. Not to pull the curtain too far back for people, right? But I didn't know we were going to go down this DPOY road until we're now down it. I just so happened yesterday to be having a post-show self-conversation about what my Defensive Player of the Year ballot, like preseason ballot, would look like. So I'm more than prepared.
You got Watt Watt?
I've got Nick at two. So to me, last year, he was ridiculous. I mean, he was just ridiculous. Like, the fact of the matter is, he might be better than his brother now. Not like, oh, better than his brother was rookie year. Better than his brother now. And his brother, you see where his brother is projected. In the
and apparently, Chase Young is better than both of them. But go ahead.
Yeah, I know. What a ridiculous world we live in. But the thing is, so for Bosa to be in year two now, and the chance to expand on that, and the thing is about that Niners team, is because I do believe that they're going to still be one of the best teams in football. And you're always trying to find ways to divvy up credit. Now, maybe it'll be Kyle Shanahan Coach of the Year. But if he didn't get it last year, I think it's going to – I don't know. Maybe Kyle just never gets the award. It's not going to be Garoppolo. Not George Kittle's not getting MVP.
Right, gets you the look credit.
You look to the defensive side of the ball. And Richard Sherman last year was incredible. But it's not as easy for corners to win the award.
Patrick got votes last year.
He sure did. I mean, look, Stephen Gilmore won the award.
Right.
Like, it's not that guys can't. It's just it's easier for people to see the stats and just be like, that's the Defensive Player of the Year of sacks. It's just always easier or force fumbles, those big plays. And I think Nick Bosa has the chance to make them. If I had to throw you a corner, though, right?
A corner, right?
Who I think actually has a case. Now, this is where you get in the dangers of a biased world, but that's why I'll ask you. I think Darius Slay, for two reasons. One, you don't get the nickname Big Play Slay accidentally. Yeah. So he's not the Darrell Revis corner who they refuse to look at him, and then there are no numbers because nobody's looking his way, right? Like, they'll still maybe try and throw his way. If he's up there in interception leaders at the cornerback position, that'll be big. What's big for Slay, though, is he has a potential narrative that can be attached to this award.
And he was the reason.
The Eagles' secondary has been dreadful for years.
Yeah.
And he can now come in. And if because the thing is, the Eagles' secondary should be taking a leap, not only with him coming in, but Nickel Coleman-Roman, the defensive line remains incredible. Like, the Eagles, for the first time in what feels like my life, which is a massive exaggeration, might have a secondary that doesn't make me want to pull my hair out. And if Darius Slay ends up taking a lion's share of credit for that because he's the new man that arrived, like, if I had to throw out there like a dark, a dark horse DPOY candidate, Darius Slay would probably be the guy.
And Darius Slay is 60-1, okay? You got to scroll way down to find him. 60-1. He's got the same odds, just for context, as Chase Young and as Chris Jones. And it's Chris Jones. So that's an interesting. And to your point about the production of a secondary member, as opposed to, say, like an interior lineman, Darius Slay is 60-1. Kevin, what if I told you about another person who I know you love? Fletcher Cox is 70-1. Okay. That's a little bit ridiculous because, in my opinion, Aaron Donald has gone so far out in front, right, that it's kind of ridiculous. But Fletcher Cox is dominant. If there were no Aaron Donald in the NFL, people would be talking about Fletcher Cox in a similar way. Like, if you look at PFF grades and things of that nature, Fletcher Cox was also, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of the field. It's just that somehow Aaron Donald was leaps and bounds ahead of him. But to the point about the positional value here and this kind of award and where the prestige comes from, to your point, Slay is 60-1. Fletcher Cox is 70-1.
I just have to say, though, like, this is something that really puts into perspective how good Aaron Donald is.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, if you were to say the top three interior defensive linemen in the league, it might be Donald, Jones, and Cox. Now, I don't know how the odds board lines up, but I think those might be, and I'm talking about, like, just your pure D tackles, right? Because Watt is a little bit more, I feel like, up an edge guy.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald is the favorite. Chris Jones is 60-1. I heard someone put it this way, and I thought it was very, very well said. Aaron Donald, doing what he does at his position,
in the interior,
would be comparable to, like, George Kittle having Michael Thomas's season last year. It's just unheard. It's so ridiculous what Aaron Donald does. Mm-hmm. And you have to also factor that into the conversation that, like, when you look at him, his peers, he hardly has peers on the defensive side of the football.
Right.
But from an interior perspective, I mean, he is already unequivocally the great, like, he has to just be. I mean, I don't want to go too far and get in arguments about things I don't know about, you know, 1970s and 60s.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, like, I mean, just interior defensive line, just what he's able to do, man, is just, it's otherworldly. It's otherworldly.
It is. You know, comparing eras would be tough, though, because in this passing league, the idea of what the defensive lineman does is different. But let's get back on the Cardinals here. They are our spotlight. We've been talking about wide receivers. We've been talking about pieces of the pie to grab. One of the biggest moves the Cardinals made this season was acquiring DeAndre Hopkins. Okay. And D-Hop, I don't know if you saw this, Kevin. D-Hop thinks that in this new situation with this high-octane offense as the new number one here in Arizona, that he's going to have an increase in his production this year. An increase from what, I ask you? You know, he's already literally one of the best wide receivers in football. Here's his quote. Check this out. On being in a pass-happy offense. So myself, being a receiver, of course I see my stats going up. But I definitely see myself having one of my most productive seasons. Percent chance D-Hop actually increases his numbers this year?
Actually, a pretty good chance. Because last year he was a touchdown from where you would expect Hopkins. He actually only had 7 touchdowns. His yards, his total yards was down a little more than 400 total yards. Even took a step back in receptions by 11. Now, he did play one less game. But I think the other side of that coin, though, right, is like one of the things that Hopkins has feasted on in Houston is there still being this considerable gap between him and the rest of the weapons. And not that that's not true in Arizona, but they're just
you like Kirk, feel like you like Larry.
Yeah, Kirk, Larry, Andy Isabella's a great guy, I'm sure. I don't know. He had that great play against the Niners. Mm-hmm. They always
what they drafted early last year.
Yeah, like there's just a lot of weapons there. But you'd think that that could lead to Hopkins maybe seeing the friendliest coverage in his career, which is why you want to talk about guys that can lead the league in touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins has to be right at the top of that list.
Yeah, absolutely. We think there is potential for this offense. Is there potential for the defense to take a step forward? We look at the roster. We look at the futures bets. We look at the schedule of the Arizona Cardinals when we come back. Keep it locked. We're giving you the edge right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Early Line. Dane and Kevin shining a light on the Arizona Cardinals today. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins a lot already, and if there's still like room in the tank for him to do even better. I got to tell you the truth. Over the last few years, I have literally called on this network, I have called DeAndre Hopkins the best wide receiver in the NFL. And part of the reason I believe so is, you know, Michael Thomas has had Drew Brees his entire career, right? Julio Jones has had an MVP in Matt Ryan his entire career. DeAndre Hopkins, at the beginning of his career, was piecing it together with Brock Osweiler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, TJ Yates, and other names that I literally cannot even think of. He's had, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson. Now he has Kyler Murray. We'll see if he gets even more production this year. But let's look at their draft, okay? Because I think their draft was very interesting, Kevin. We thought that they were going to go offensive tackle early on, right, to protect the developing quarterback. It seems like that was in their plans, but they got lucky waiting, still getting Josh Jones early third round with their second draft pick. But they got a guy that we think can be an incredible, versatile Swiss Army knife on defense for them. Talk to me about Isaiah Simmons and his fit and his value potentially to improving this Cardinals defense.
Yeah, Isaiah Simmons, I think, is someone that, if used correctly, can actually maybe be the best defensive player in this class. And yes, I know Chase Young is in this class. Like Isaiah Simmons and what he brings to the table from a versatility standpoint, it just has this feel of the future of the NFL on the defensive side of the football. With that being said, I also have some concerns because from a pure athleticism standpoint, he's not Derwin James. Right. So it is paramount then that the team that has Isaiah Simmons uses him appropriately. And I'm already fearful that the Cardinals will not be using him appropriately. They keep stressing that he is going to play one position, that he is just going to be, from you know what they're saying, a linebacker. And that's all he's going to do. I believe the quote, man, it was laughable. But I believe it was, oh, you know, you saw how good he was playing all those positions. Imagine how good he'll be just playing one position. It's like you're just completely missing the point. Yeah. Like the fact that you would completely go left, right, in your draft plans because this guy's on the board, but then not understand what makes him worth that pick at eight.
Right. Is that versatility, right?
Yeah. Is Brett Venable knew.
Brett Venable
sure did. Like,
I think you're right, but here's the thing. We all have designs on the Cardinals' offense being that sexy breakout, right? Year two, they get D-hop, but on defense, this is where it's going to matter. You know, for this Cardinals, if they actually take a step as a team, they were literally last in the NFL last year in terms of yards given up a game, over 402, I believe. This is a defense that gives up 27.6 points a game. That was good for 27th in the NFL. They have to make strides on the defensive side of the ball. They're not going to just, you know, outscore everyone. We think it can be somewhat dynamic, but, you know, they're going to need a little bit more. What about a guy like Fotu, who they drafted in the fourth round, another defensive tackle out of Utah? They doubled down. Lawrence, another defensive tackle out of LSU. It looks to me like they did go heavy on the front seven in the draft, but this is where they need to make progress, Kevin.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Patrick Peterson did miss some of those games in the beginning of the season with a suspension. So you'd have to hope having Pat Pete for a full wealth of games can certainly help this football team. And I do think that Vance Joseph is a good defensive coordinator. Anybody that can take a defensive coordinator job and turn it into a head coach position has to be good at their defensive coordinator job, considering how often it is the offensive minds that take those positions. It is a good question, though, as to whether the talent is there for this group to be enough for the Cardinals to make the full leap.
Right. Like, you know, I think their offense is going to be good. Okay. If we assume that, you know, they got to move from, like, you know, 27th in points per game for them to really make hay and be a playoff contender. They got to get to, you know, middle of the league, right? They got to get to, you know, in the middle 10. You know, somewhere if they move up to 16 in the league, that could be enough for them to, you know, help out the offense enough. Let's look at their futures numbers here, because I think they're very interesting. I want to see where you land initially, and then we'll do game by game as always. Their win total is 7. Okay, and by the way, that's the lowest in this division. Yeah. Remember, we did the Rams yesterday. They were 8, 8.5. So their win total is 7 on the number, even juice kind of on both sides. The books do not think this is a playoff team. Minus 310, no playoffs for the Arizona Cardinals. If you think they could contend as a playoff team, plus 240 is a big-time number for that. They're the worst choice in their division at 9-1. If you think Kyler Murray can take this huge step, he's 23-1 to win the NFL MVP in year two in a dynamic offense, now throwing a D-hop, right? If you think Cliff Kingsbury, and boy, I want to hear what you thought about his crib during the draft. We have the picture of that up right now. Cliff Kingsbury is like the 5th or 6th choice to win coach of the year, because if they do take this step in the same way Sean McVay got all the props, Cliff Kingsbury would get all the props. He's 18-1 to win coach of the year. Their win total, their playoff positioning. What do you think? What ponds are you fishing in for the future of the Cardinals?
Yeah, they're a real, real interesting team. You know, I kind of remember how some people after the draft were like, man, could the NFC West put the whole division right in the postseason, which is now like the first time that could actually be a thing? I don't necessarily think so. I still think that they're that while I believe that this team is going to take strides forward, you know, that's a bottom eight team taking strides forward. Right. Not, you know, again, in maybe the toughest division in football, asking them to find themselves into the postseason is a very, very, in my opinion, difficult ask for this team. So as I scan the board and I look for value, right? You know, again, I don't think they're going to be good enough for Kyler to win MVP, but I want them on my fantasy teams. If they are good enough, Cliff Kingsbury won't be coach of the year, I don't think, because McVay came in and took the worst offense in football to one of the best offenses in football. We can see the talent that sits there for this football team, I think, no doubt about it. DeAndre Hopkins, could he be maybe an offensive player of the year, the award that I would like to see take a full transition?
The non-quarterback award?
I'd like to see it take a full transition into a non-QB award, personally. I think it'd be a good way then to award the skill position
41
players.
41-1 for D-Hop. 41-1.
And I think that's some fair value for a guy that I'm talking about potentially leading the league in touchdowns and could get a decent amount of credit potentially for steps forward taken in Arizona.
Enough, he's 41-1. He's the second wide receiver on the board behind only Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
He's the same odds as Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin. You want to talk about a bet that I would gladly book. Right. Gladly. There's anybody that wants to bet Chris Godwin to win offensive player of the year.
Over D-Hop, right?
Please. So the best futures bet that I saw is not one that you mentioned, but it's a cop-out. It's DeAndre Hopkins over 8.5 touchdowns. The very, very specific bet that you can find on the board. It's like minus 120. But in terms of the wins and in terms of the playoffs, I must say, I think you are a very, very risky man if you were to go out there and bet -310 for this team to miss the postseason. Right. Everything I just said included. Yeah. With an offense that has this kind of a ceiling in the 2020 NFL, you just could not get
There's
me to like.
There's a team every year also, right? That takes a dramatic step forward offensively,
absolutely.
Right? Think about the Rams recently. You know, I mean, right. And could Arizona be that team this year? I kind of think it's very possible.
Here's the big thing that Arizona has going for them. Remember when we did the Packers?
Yeah.
And they got off to like a 3-5 start. Right. And we're like, man, this could be Disastersville right there. If you take a peek at that opening Cardinals schedule, okay, through 4 weeks, I think a lot of people would probably tell you that they're 3-1. Maybe not everybody. But I think there's a fair amount of people that might tell you that they're 3-1. That's a really hot start with week five, them playing the New York Jets. And the Jets will vary in opinion from person to person. Now, I'm not saying that this is how I have this season necessarily going.
Sure.
But if any team starts the year 4-1, because they always give these type of numbers out, Dane,
yeah.
But the percentage of that team
right, that they qualify for the playoffs
yeah,
right.
is just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous how frequently a team that would start 4-1 yeah. is going to be able to go to the postseason. So am I lining up to throw a yes bet on a team that I don't think is going to make the playoffs?
Plus 40, though, that's good value.
I agree with you. I agree with you that it's good value, and I think that that win total of 7, boy, does it feel like I'm going to have this team 7-9.
Right. We can just fast forward right now. You're going to have them 7-9. We'll do the exercise. We'll look at our diamonds and fugazis. I would be remiss, though, if I didn't throw out, you know, we do our prep on every team that we see. I got to tell you something, Kevin. I saw the most incredible stat ever. You know, right up there with, like, you know, Mickey Mantle, like, had more something like 3 homer games than strikeouts in his career, you know, something it's crazy like that. Listen to this, okay? Larry Fitzgerald, in his career, are you ready for this? Has recorded more tackles than drops.
Yeah.
In his
career, what?
Larry Fitzgerald has recorded 39 tackles. And this has to be what? Like tackling someone who intercepted it or recovered a fumble? He ain't playing special teams. Okay? He has more tackles than drops in his career. 39 tackles, 29 drops. It's not even close. Okay? So literally, the man averages like 2 drops a season and like 3 tackles a season. You know, we all find nuggets and stats. And I see sometimes on social media, you see sometimes put up other ways. When I saw that, I literally had to take a double take and be like, what? Did he ever play both ways? What are we talking about here?
What are you missing?
Can you just speak to the amazingness of that stat? And ultimately, Larry Fitzgerald, who has a chance to finish his career number 2 all time in most categories behind only Jerry Rice.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you bring this up because you think Larry Fitz is a good DPOY bet, and I'd have to agree, clearly, as a tackle machine. Look, Larry Fitzgerald is a point-blank Hall of Famer. Larry Fitzgerald is an all-decade team guy. Larry Fitz has been doing it forever. And, you know, I'm personally, you know, I'm pro-player movement, especially, like, in the NFL, because there's no – you can't do a super team, I don't think, in the NFL. I don't think that that's possible.
Your Eagles thought they could.
Please don't ever – oh, man.
Sorry. I didn't mean to
but it was Vince Young. It was Vince, like the balls on the back.
It was the cornerback that they got.
Nnamdi
Asamoah. Asamoah thought that, you know, he was going to bring it on home. But I digress. Larry Fitzgerald would never come out and say something like that. Now, would he?
No, not only that, though, but Larry Fitz always said, I am staying in Arizona, man. And we're like, Larry, you're still here. Like, go. The only time I've ever heard people openly root for someone to go to New England has been Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. That's how love this dude is.
I mean,
he's just the best. You can't find anyone to say a bad thing about Larry Fitzgerald.
Talk about doing it the right way. And now he's going to be like in the slot and the number 3 receiver potentially for this team. Let's see how far of a jump the Cardinals take. We'll go game by game when we come back. It's the Early Line right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. Dane and Kevin trying to find some value on the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that intrigues us a ton, both from the fantasy production side, and could they be the sexy team that takes a leap forward? I know a lot of people are starting to think so. We're going to find out if Kevin is among them. Kevin, they got two primetime games, and they're on the road for both of them. So we will remember that. You know, it's like the league wants them on primetime, but not giving them the home game just yet. You mentioned that they may start hot. But I don't know if week one is them starting off hot. They start on the road to San Francisco. That's a tough draw right out the gate.
Yeah, it is. And it's a game that I have to pick the Niners in. But I remember I made a note. At the time, the spread was 8.5 because they had week one available. And I said that number, I don't know if it's moved. I just remember saying to myself, that number's too high. And I will take the Cardinals plus the points in that scenario, because last year they played the Niners very, very tough. And I think that they're now a better football team. So why wouldn't they do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to check you on this, you would take the points if it's a touchdown or more, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you do it at 6 or 6.5?
No, then I'd stay off the game.
So it's about a touchdown, right, that you need. But regardless, you have them starting off 0-1. But then you've referenced, you got them getting hot for the rest of September. They've go home, right? And the next two teams, they welcome teams that are favored to be in last place in their division coming to town. Week two, it's Washington. Week three, it's Detroit. You think they get both of them?
Absolutely. I don't know how you really couldn't, right? And I think this is kind of – this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be favorites in those games. Not overwhelming favorites, but I would say over field goal favorites in those games for sure. And if they're able to handle business, then this, you know, can get them, you know, maybe the ball starts rolling a little bit for them.
Fair enough. I remember we've talked about this schedule a bunch also. I remember that primetime game against Dallas that is coming up, but it is coming up at the end of three straight road games. I have mentioned this a bunch about the Arizona Cardinals schedule, and here it comes. Weeks 4, 5, and 6, a three-game road trip at Carolina, 1 o'clock Eastern, at the Jets, 1 o'clock Eastern, and then Monday Night Football at Dallas against the Cowboys, week 6. How do you think they get through this stretch?
Yeah, so week 4, I do have them beating the Panthers, keeping a little bit of the momentum. Carolina's returning actually from a West Coast trip themselves, playing the Chargers the week before. This week 5 game, to me, is one of the turning point type of games on the slate here.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, right, if again, without the full context, would be like, yeah, give me the Cardinals, they're better than the Jets. Probably. The Jets are not only home, they're off a mini bye, having played Thursday night against the Denver Broncos. It's a schedule win to me for the Jets. And then there's nothing for me to think about when it comes to week 6, as this is now the third straight road game for the
Monday
Cardinals,
night,
playing a ridiculously difficult team in the Dallas Cowboys. That's so that now is a stretch of 1-2.
Right.
For the Cardinals.
So that makes them 3-3 on the season. Yeah, them 2-1. Yep. Then this stretch, it's a tough stretch. Not many teams have three straight road games, especially this early in the season. So you have them standing at 3-3. They do come back home after that, but it's not like they get to lick their wounds much at all. Remember, because it's a Monday night, so a short week. And, you know, it's a physical matchup coming to town. It's Danger Russ and the Seahawks coming into Arizona.
So this is where the schedule makers sometimes aren't too kind. Boy, would they like, you know, say the Miami matchup, right, in this spot here to get a win. Unfortunately, not only are they on that short week that you mentioned, the Seahawks are off of their bye. And it's also difficult because Seattle, three straight years, have traveled off their bye and won all three times. So the Seahawks take care of business in this spot. It's another scheduled type of loss for the Cardinals.
All right, fair enough. So they go under 500 to 3-4. You're talking about how the schedule flow and, you know, really hurts the Cardinals on some levels. There's a stretch where I think it helps them, though, Kev, right? Because after week 7, they have the bye. They have the week 8 bye. And then they have back-to-back home games of interconference, non-familiar opponents traveling east to west to come see them, okay? So just for context here, they play the Seahawks at home on October 25th. They don't leave Arizona again until November 19th, and they stay in the same time zone. So it's a full month. And after the bye, they have the Dolphins coming in, followed by the Bills coming in their next two games, weeks 9 and 10. How do you think they do in that stretch?
Yeah, so the Finns one won't divide any opinion. I like the Cardinals off a bye at home. For me, again, at home, off a bye is almost always going to be a win. But I've also got them beating the Buffalo Bills here. I've tried to factor in the rest of a bye week for more than just 1 week, which the Cardinals will have, and the Bills are actually
That's why I mentioned they're staying home for that big-time stretch, too.
The Bills are playing their last game before their bye. So to this point, they've not had any breaks in play as Buffalo. So it's a nice win for the Cardinals to try and get their, you know, momentum back.
All right, so 5-4. Okay, 5-4 after 9 games, definitively still kind of live, right? Then they have a tough stretch, 2 straight road games that start with the short week of travel in an unfriendly place at Seattle on the short week.
Right, and that's just the problem. I mean, the schedule, think about, we talked about how kind the schedule was to the Chiefs in division. Essentially, the exact opposite seems to be true here for this Cardinals team. Seattle at home on a short week, hard not to go with the Seahawks.
Okay, then they have the mini bye.
Yes.
But they are traveling. Okay, so they travel across country, but, you know, they have the luxury maybe to arrive early, get that body clock right. This is an interesting game to me because I don't know where this team is going to be at this point of the season, but they go to Gillette to take on the Patriots in week 12.
It's a game that gives me a lot of pause because of that mini bye and the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals could be considered a tier better than the Pats because maybe the Pats season has fallen apart, but also maybe not. I can't disrespect Foxborough too much. I'm leaning Patriots here, but this was a game that it pulled me for sure. And I'll tell you another thing. I'll just quickly say this with the Patriots. I found myself giving them more respect than I thought I would. I don't know if it was just cowardly of me. I don't know what it was, but I think if you would have asked me that same spot 2 weeks back, I would have been like, Cardinals, no questions asked. There is something about New England, what they were able to do defensively last year, that pushed me towards them in that spot.
And that's fair, but remember, a lot of that defense is gone, Kevin. You know, Jamie Collins gone. Kyle Van Noy gone. You know, so I think it's an open question. What are the Patriots this year?
I
remember, we're almost finished with this division, right? So next week, we will turn our attention to the AFC East, and we'll be able to get Kevin's answer game by game for the Patriots as well. But you have them losing in this trip to New England. That makes them 5-6 on the season. They come home. Ironically, they have not played the Rams just yet, who I know you and I are thinking about, you know, how these guys go heads up in this division. They come home week 13 with the Rams coming to town. So they get them at home first.
Yeah, and it's a big spot for them to get them at home. If you remember when we talked about the Rams are coming off this ridiculous stretch of having, I think, played the Bucks, the Seahawks, and the Niners in like 3 straight weeks. So it's a really, really nice spot for Arizona, the rare friend of the schedule this go around.
All right, fair enough. Then they go across country to New York to see the Giants in week 14.
This is comparable, actually, to the spot that your Jets find themselves in, where the Cardinals have to come to this exact building twice.
They got
to
go at New York, and at New York, they don't get the luxury of staying in town. They got to do it in, you know, once in October, once in December.
Yeah. I'm going to still lean Arizona, partly because they ripped them to shreds last year
Chase
in
Edmonds
this building.
Wild.
Yeah. So part of that is leaning me towards this Cardinals football team.
Okay. So listen, that could be a big game for them. That makes them 7-6. Yeah. Okay. So now as we have the final stretch of three games, right? Mm-hmm. These are going to be games that are important to them, that they're live in. They're going to be in the, like, in the hunt graphic that we see
as we go
into this. And that's going to change it. It's a tough stretch, but they get two in a row at home. Okay. Your Eagles come to town, but they are flying east to west and all that stuff. And then the Niners come to town. You think, I mean, these are two, you know, strong NFC teams, but if the Cardinals are what you think they are, maybe they get one of these. Do you have them picking off the Eagles or the Niners at home in this stretch?
Man, is it tough. Man, is it tough. So Philly is on the heels of that game against New Orleans. That should be a schedule win for the Eagles. If you remember, New Orleans would be playing their third straight road game in that spot. Right. But that's still got to be a tough game, man. I mean, that has to be a tough game.
Your boy Darius Slay will be tested, huh?
Yeah, no, you ain't kidding, man. And then having to go to Arizona, I mean, man, it's a game that splits me. In this spot right here, I'm going to lean Cardinals.
Okay, and then what about San Fran?
I'm gonna.
So you're giving them the split here, right?
Yeah, I'm giving them the split because the Niners at least stay west.
All right, and then they finish it up with a trip to Los Angeles. All right, to see the Rams. They close it out with the Rams. I won't tell you what to have them. What do you have? Yeah. Week 17.
We've got the Rams. I remember the Rams getting this one yesterday, and I think that's still where I lean for sure.
All right, so their number is 7 on the number, Kevin. You have this team going 8-8. You have this team going 8-8, all right, which is taking a step forward. Okay, remember, this team drafted in the top 10. This is Kyler Murray as a second-year quarterback potentially taking a step. Now with the context of seeing the ebbs and flows of their schedule, where'd you have the Rams yesterday?
I think 10-6.
Okay. So this would be – and I, you know, we'll talk about the Niners and the Seahawks, but I'm going to expect you have both of those teams winning more than 8 games and kind of being in your playoff picture. We'll see later on in the week. But this is a team then that goes 8-8. What say you now in terms of some of the futures values? Is this – that's still over 7, but it's probably not a playoff team. This kind of 500 performance does not get MVP consideration for a second-year quarterback. So now what are you trying to do? But I agree with you, 8-8. I ain't laying -310 for that team to not make the playoffs either. So what do you think?
I agree. I look through this schedule and the home victories over both Philly and Buffalo are nice wins, right? Which are very, very reasonable though. You know, the road though, not as kind to them, right? At the Jets on a mini bye, Dallas third straight road game, at Seattle on a short week. You know, at least the New England trip's a mini-bye, but it's west to east, and it's still Foxborough.
I think you only had them getting one game in division also.
You
have the Niners sweeping them.
Yeah, I did.
You have them splitting with the Rams, but I think you have Seattle beating them both times.
Yeah, Seattle gets them Thursday night
on the road, Seattle. And then after that, back-to-back-to-back on short rest after the game at Dallas.
Right, and Seattle's off a bye. Like, Seattle won the schedule lottery when it comes to the Cardinals, without a doubt. You know, and could the Niners maybe slip up that Week 16 game? Like, and that's, I gotta say, right, it's basically, how I would look at this, is it's all to play for in those last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's the Eagles, the Niners, and the Rams, three very, very good teams.
I think there's a lot of volatility in this schedule, right? And the thing is, who are the Cardinals? Could the Cardinals win some of these games? Yeah. I think there's variance. I can see them 10-6. I can see them 6-10. Very interesting for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll go deeper in the fantasy side and talk production. Diamonds and Fugazis for the Cardinals. They're on deck. Keep it locked right here. We're going to give you the edge. It's the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the early line here on Sports Grid. Kevin and I have been going around the Arizona Cardinals, who is, you know, there's a lot of buzz around this team. I would almost equate this team, maybe not fully, but the idea of like what the Browns were last year, right? Young, developing quarterback, a lot of buzz. You know, we know they have a ton of weapons. Like, is DeAndre Hopkins not the Odell Beckham role, right? An amazing top five wideout that gets added to the offense, you know, a head coach that's a player's coach, you know, trying to take that step. But the question is, how much of this is real, or are they going to defecate the mattress with the expectation in the same way that Cleveland kind of did? I'm going to tell you something. I think Kyler Murray, I think Kenyon Drake, I think this team is saying all the right things, doing all the right things. We don't hear them out in front, right? Kyler Murray's not in GQ magazines talking about what they're going to do this year. So, you know, I do think it's a little bit different. I'm high on the Cardinals. I'm excited to see how this breaks out. Do you think the buzz has gone too far, though, for the Cards?
I got to say, Dan, I could have done without that analogy. Boy, did that send shivers down my spine.
Why?
Because last year, I was very excited for the Browns.
Right.
And I also said I thought Odell would lead the league in touchdowns.
Uh-oh.
So here I am now.
Over 8.5 on D-Hop.
So now here I am, saying Hopkins might lead the league in touchdowns, excited about an offense.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're going to be terrible.
Well, the question is, do you have more trust in Cliff Kingsbury than you did in Freddie Kitchens?
God, yes, of course I do. I mean,
so that's the difference. I think that is
what
a real
happen. You know, someone will do a 30 for 30, a 15-part documentary on what happened in Cleveland last year.
But it won't happen for years, and I want to see the taping of some progressive commercials in there as well. But let's look at the Cardinals, because I think there's some very interesting players on this Cardinals team. And, you know, I'm going to backtrack a little bit on something I always say. We talk about waiting on quarterback, Kevin. We talk about waiting on quarterback. Kyler Murray is very intriguing to me this year. He is very intriguing to me this year. I mean, the man ran for 500 yards last year. Think about all the Lamar love, right? And when I say I'm going to go safe and upside when I'm going to wait on quarterback, I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger on Kyler Murray earlier than in others, right? And here's the other thing. And people, if you play in a ton of leagues like I do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in like 7 or 8 teams, okay, which is, it's a ton. And last year, I kid you not, ironically, I had the first overall pick in a number of leagues, okay, last year. And I couldn't take Saquon everywhere, right? Because I was like, then I'm too, you know, pot committed on Saquon.
Right.
You know? And if he went down, which he ultimately did, it would undercut all of my teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in one league where I had the number one overall pick, I traded out of it, okay? I traded out of it with a guy who was, I think, the third pick. I wound up with Kamara, you know, because I needed to diversify. And what I'm saying is, in my wait on quarterback approach, I'm going to have a lot of quarterbacks that are quarterback 11, 12, 13. I know that. But when I diversify, the way I'm going to do it is taking a shot on Kyler Murray with better draft capital. I think Kyler Murray is ready to take that step. I think he could get into tier one for next year. I know there's so much hype and buzz, but I'm on the gravy train. For me, Kyler Murray will be like the only quarterback that I decide to grab earlier. Him and maybe Josh Allen as kind of quarterbacks that are like 7, 8, 9 that I might take, instead of just waiting for the 11, 12, you know, quarterback 14 and being happy with it. I know I espouse wait on quarterback. Kyler Murray could be the one for me that at least when I diversify, I'm going to take a shot a little bit earlier on.
So I'm trying to figure out in my head, is Kyler quarterback 6?
He's quarterback 5. He's ahead of Deshaun Watson.
He's ahead of Watson. Okay.
Okay. It goes right now Lamar, Patty, Dak, Russell, and Kyler, Watson number 6. Interestingly enough, all 6 of them, African-American. What do you know? But Kyler Murray is QB5 right now.
See, that's the thing with the Kyler. So it's very funny when you try and have conversations. Like, I don't know if you co-own a team with anybody, right? But, you know, we will talk throughout the year about the team, right? And you'll have conversations before you see any ADP rankings. So you'd think, man, I'm ahead of the curve. I think this is a good year for me to get Dak. It's a good year for me to get Kyler.
Yeah.
And then you find out the quarterback 3 and 5, and you're like, you got to be.
That's what I feel about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? I was like, I'm going to be ahead of the curve. But now It's out of the box. Right. So, I agree with you. And that's where I view Kyler Murray. That's where I view Josh Allen as well. But that's where they are. You know, the world has adjusted.
Kyler, to me, if I can offer someone a strat, I mean, you want to talk about a very small window of fans I'm going for here. But if you're playing in a home league that does a live draft, you might be able to steal Kyler Murray.
Why is that?
Because a lot of them like to use the one that I'm in. They're all using their books, right, and they never know how to value the quarterbacks appropriately. Yeah. And they just trust old guys. Like, I know Rodgers in that league, Rodgers is coming off the board before Kyler. Really? But like Breeze and Brady also might be coming off the board before Kyler.
Interesting.
So again, like, it's up to the league. It's a league. It's my buddy's family. A lot of them are a little bit older, but different things. So basically, if you happen to be in the one league I'm referencing, my league, maybe you're steal Kyler. I'm also probably just saying that to hope it's true. But yeah, he's totally worth it.
Fair enough. But Kevin, if any of the people in that league want a co-owner, I'm available.
No,
available. Well, you don't want to bring another shark in the water? Fine. I understand. You have
to. Oh, Dane, you got to see though. It's the best because we sit there, right? We have our rankings like pulled up because we don't want to say a name. That way, the other people will then start to assume the name.
That's on the board. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what do you think about 34? And he's like, I don't know. I was looking at 26. And then the people are like, they're talking in code, man. What's going on with these two? They're like, so I can't have you coming in there and being like, oh, I do the show with Kevin. I know exactly what he's looking for.
Fair enough. You know, and that has happened. I, for the first time last year, you know, I talk about the stats overbeat Cypher all the time, right? And we did a league. And, you know, I thought it was going to be tough to fill. Within 30 minutes, I had people PayPaling me money being like, I'm in. Right. And the thing is, everybody, though, is a fan and listener of me in Fantasy Freestyle. Right. So they knew exactly where I was going. One team even named their team Speeds is Fugazis. You know, and by the way, he finished in the bottom of the league. But I digress. We can have a similar conversation, I believe, about Kenyon Drake at the running back position, right? He is... We've named him a bunch. He is at the back end of RB1 territory right now, above your boy Miles Sanders at running back 11. Here's the way I feel about him, okay? I understand people drafting him in like the late second round, early third round, targeting him because of this offense, what he did when he came over there. I get it. He's just not going to be on my teams. Okay, when I see the other guys around him, I'm going to lean towards an Austin Eckler, a Miles Sanders, a Josh Jacobs over Kenyon Drake just because I haven't seen it so much. All right, and if he pops off and becomes RB4 this year, I tip my cap, enjoy your production.
Yeah. I mean, so I look at what he did last year, right? And that first game, he takes 15 carries, turns it into 110 yards and a touchdown against the Niners. Then the next four games, not great. 35 yards, 67 yards, 31 yards, 37 yards, and not a touchdown in any of those games. There was some passing work, not a ton. Then he plays Cleveland, 22 carries, 137 yards, and four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the Kenyon Drake game. He followed that up with 24 yards, 166 yards, and two touchdowns, which was ridiculous. Then the final game of the season, 60 yards and a touchdown. The thing is, if I had to tell you one of those is going to be significantly more what you will get than the rest, it'd be the bad games. Because those top games are crazy. We've not seen that from Kenyon Drake before.
We're talking Derrick Henry stuff, right? 166 and 2. 137 and 4 touchdowns, people. Right? Like, just, that was inflated.
He had a season's worth of production in, like, three games.
And don't get me wrong. It's possible, right? Sure. But guess what? You know, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a big piece of this pie coming in, right? And so, you know, look at some of the passing game work. You know, if you have his game log up also, you know, listen, 6 catches against the Niners, 4 for 52 against the Niners, you know, 3 for 23. That's legitimate production. That's another 3-4 points that may not be there. I'm with you. I think he's a legitimate RB2. But he's being drafted as a back-end RB1. So he's, relatively speaking, someone I'm going to forget about.
He also had an opportunity. He somehow had 6 catches for 6 yards, and then the next week followed up with 6 catches for 13 yards. Right. And I don't know. He basically, that's the reason why people don't like PPR format, which is why I somewhat understand what they're talking about when it comes to that equating to 6 points is so ridiculous. Yeah, I think I'll pass on Kenyon. I just think there's guys I'll trust more, whether it be me talking myself into them or they're more reliable. Kenyon is just not going to really land on a lot of my teams. He's someone I'll be more intrigued to try and pick a spot in a DFS lineup with, I think.
I think that's the right play. And he may be in a DFS lineup. Again, like you said, he has pop-off weeks, so maybe the best ball format. One other player I do want to mention, because I mentioned him in our rookie running backs, and he was an off-the-radar guy, Eno Benjamin, is now in this room as well, along with Chase Edmonds. He was out of Arizona State, so they saw all his game film, and they liked him. I could see a little bit of PPR kind of value as that change of pace. He's that Justin Reagor type, right, who can do a lot of scat action. Just don't forget, David Johnson's not there, so there is potential for Kenyon Drake. I think the wide receiver position is very interesting. Okay, D-Hop, we know, is there, right? He's going as wide out 5. We all know if you're not drafting him on the turn or late round 1, you ain't getting him. Okay, so you're making your decision on D-Hop. For me, the intriguing one is Christian Kirk. The intriguing one is Christian Kirk for me, because everyone, you know, we just gave all the platitudes to Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yep.
But is Larry Fitzgerald still really Larry Fitzgerald, or has Christian Kirk leapfrogged him? That is the big question for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the answer is 100% yes, but I think the answer is closer to yes than the public would ever admit. And so I think he may be a diamond. I'll get you their ratings right now and ranks.
Yeah.
D-Hop is up at 5. What do you think about Kirk and Fitzgerald? I know, obviously, the Hall of Fame name is going to ring bells, especially in your kind of like home leagues.
Yeah.
But for me, that's why Kirk is a diamond. He missed some time last year also. You know, people may forget about him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what people want to do with Larry Fitz. So Larry Fitz was this thing like, we forgot about him, right? Then 2015, 109 catches. Follows that up with a 107 and then a 109. And at that point, you get into 2018, everyone was like, oh, this is a thing. I can trust it. And then he had 69 catches. He comes back down to earth. Last year, he only had 75. The only 2 targets separated him and Kirk last year. It'll be interesting to see just how many guys will be viable in this receiving core. It's probably a scenario where I will take the Dane Martinez approach and take whichever one's going last.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll take Hopkins, but of the 2 of them,
it's
I'll
crazy. Take going last. Kirk is 40. Fitzgerald is 71.
You know which one you're drafting.
Ridiculous. Although, last point I'll make, Kirk and Kyler Murray, college teammates before the transfer at Texas A&M. Well, that's been it on the Cardinals. We keep going on the NFC West tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. It's another edition of the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.